So I have a series of questions that each has developed to ask the other, and we'll move into that section now. And these questions are all variations around various ideas of solutions to these problems. And the first one I will pose to Daniel, which was crafted by Jim. And Daniel, it's number 4 on your list. You've talked about the problem in various publications of fishing down the food chain. What are the policy implications of the declining trophic level indices that you have measured?
We're
trying to get this one.
So this, the trophic level decline were observed, were documented the first time in 98. There was an immediate attempt at a rebuttal. And it served as a guide, as a program of research to deal with the rebuttal for my group over the next years. And we have essentially shown, and more partners have shown, that it really happens and that it is really so. You say it ain't really so, but it is really so. It really happens. And it is a phenomenon that makes that shock value, but at first I didn't know what policy implications has. Obviously, beyond the obvious that we ought to leave the fish alone so they can be replenished. And for example, what he proposed to about changing the poultry regime would do that. To my great surprise, in last year, it was picked up by the CBD, the Convention on Biodiversity. I believe the United States is the only country in the world that has not ratified the Convention on Biodiversity. Anyway, the Convention on Biodiversity is a series, is one of these international treaties or organization, and it monitors diversity, and it has set as its goal of the reversal of biodiversity loss, or a diminishing, a decline of the rate of biodiversity loss. They're very modest in their goal. And by 2010, so they will measure various indicators to see if biodiversity loss has been halted or slowed down. And to my great surprise, the parties at the conference in Kuala Lumpur has adopted this index, which the trophic level measure, which they renamed Marine Trophic Index, as one of 8 indicators that the countries will measure. So in principle now, the countries are supposed to report every year to the Secretariat what progress they have made on this index and a bunch of others. This has put the pressure on us to assist the countries in doing it, and the first that has approach us to WWF is Vietnam. There are a few others that will have to report on this index, and that asking a nice question, when is it too low? When do we have to reverse it? How do we reverse the trend? And basically, we are learning. Up to now, it was something that could be used to identify a malaise, and it will to turn it into an index of tactical action will require some work. Perhaps the way I figure it could work is that it used similar to the mileage requirement that in the good old days were imposed on Detroit. I don't know how you can do it, Ford, General Motors, or Chrysler, but you will have, your average fleet is going to have, 25 miles per gallon or 10 miles per gallon. And they have to ensure that the mix of the product they sell meet that estimate. So if a country were really planning to reverse this decline, it would cease to encourage two subsidies, for example, the fishing of tiny fish, because this would decrease this would increase the trophic level. Now, what this on the ground would do is that it would leave the fish that are needed by, it would leave the tiny fish that are needed by the larger one to rebuild the abundance. And it would obviously also feed the seabirds and the marine mammals, which are all protected or monitored by the Convention Biodiversity. What it might do also, though, that it would preclude the development of aquaculture, if that aquaculture is based on food derived from this fish. But between us, I don't believe that any country will, because of the Convention Biodiversity, do anything about the way it structures its foods. And I believe that this index will measure the decline, the further decline of the ocean. And so we're going to see a further decline.